I'd like to call this Council and Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call.
Your Worship, all members of Council are present.
Thank you. There is no addendum this evening in terms of announcements. I attended an announcement this morning. Parliamentary Assistant Catherine McGarry of the Ministry of Transportation attended Steve's bicycle place, Steve Goodwin Boulevard, to announce three funding grants by the province with respect to cycling infrastructure, one of which is in the town of Fort Erie. It's going to be an improvement to the recreation trail with the Parks Commission between Bowen Road and Forsyth. There'll be about under a kilometer of off-road trail between Gilmore Road approximately. And then there will be some on-road delineation of a bike path from there to Bowen, which will be part of the Parks Commission Recreation Trail. That's a $250,000 grant from the province, $150,000 contributed by the Parks Commission, and $100,000 that we had approved in our budget. That's going forward. There were also two grants, one to Niagara-on-the-Lake. The Lord Mayor was here for that, and one for the region serving Brock University, and the chair was here for that as well. We've got a bunch of Earth Day cleanups coming up this weekend, and I suppose when we get to scheduling of meetings, perhaps one of you folks or some of you will want to make reference to that. And then finally, the fire department is having its annual awards banquet on April the 23rd there as well. Disclosures of pecuniary interest. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Tonight I have a conflict with three reports, IS-08-2016 under consent agenda item, IS-09-2016 and IS-10-2016 as my company does business with Circle P Paving.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I also have a conflict on the same three reports as Councillor Butler, as I have a relative that works for Circle P Paving.
And I have a similar conflict with respect to all three reports, IS 08, 09, and 10. Sorry to say, well, I guess I'm happy to say that my son-in-law began working for Circle P last week, so that constitutes a definite conflict. Are there any other conflicts or declarations of pecuniary interest? There being none, public notices with respect to a town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment open house regarding fence regulations that will take place Tuesday, April the 19th, which is tomorrow evening in the Town Hall atrium between 5 and 6 p.m. And there's a public meeting with respect to that same town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment regarding fence regulations, which will take place in the Town Hall Council Chambers on May the 2nd at 6 p.m. And the information report with respect to that will be available on our website on Wednesday, April the 27th, 2016. There are no public meetings this evening. There are consent agenda items, but we will remove IS-08, IS-09, and IS-10 from the consent agenda. Could I have a motion with respect to the remaining consent agenda items? Councillor McDermott? Are there any questions or comments with respect to the reports that remain within the consent agenda package? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just looking through the report for the baby security.
IS-11.
Yes. I just wanted to get some clarification and some updates on how we're proceeding with the number one, the fees for parking there. Is that going to be increased this year to $10?
Mr. Brady.
Yes, Councilor Luberts, the fees for parking will be updated this year as per the budget.
Okay, and last year, when we first got started with the season, there was some some confusion over the tickets for the security people. The tickets were outdated, or and they couldn't be issued or something. I don't know. Is everything in place this year for the tickets? Do we have updated tickets so that we can issue tickets if they have to?
Brady, can you comment on that?
Yes, I can. Through the Councillor Luberts, all parking tickets this year will be handled by town staff. We won't be using the security people at Bay Beach for handing out parking tickets. The staff member that we'll be bringing on staff shortly, who will be there primarily for parking and other enforcement measures, he and our other enforcement staff will be dealing with that.
Councillor Luberts?
Is that the staff member that we're going to have for the weekends? Is that the one we're talking about? I think the shift was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Mr. Brady?
Yes, Councilor Luberts, that gentleman or lady, as the case may be, will be working a five-day-a-week shift, which will always include Saturday and Sunday.
And another thing that I'm looking at the reports, and there's this is the new security group as of last year. So this is a different company. And last year, there was some, again, a little bit of confusion with the people that were on for security on weekends. Do they have a contact person for weekends? I know we can call town hall and get dispatched, but do we have like a cell phone that we're going to supply them so that they can have a contact person to get a hold of?
Understand the question, Mr. Brady?
I understand the question. I believe Mr. Walsh would like to answer.
Sure, Mr. Walsh.
The crew on the weekend will be a senior security member and along with a junior as required. The senior will have full contact with town staff, if that's what you're referring to. But they will also have the authority to act in the town's best interest.
Councilor Luberts?
Okay, thank you. And it would be the security company. Like, one thing that we had was we had a breakdown in the pay and display machines last year. At one weekend, the three of them were down. Now, I think that I heard correctly over the last little while that we have a backup, and it will be the security company that will be monitoring and making sure that the machines are working.
Mr. Walsh?
That's correct.
And I guess with Mr. Brady's comments, the side street parking and all that, all those problems are going to be taken care of by our staff member that we're going to have on weekends.
Mr. Brady?
Through to Councilor Roberts. We haven't changed any of the provisions up the side streets as of yet, but we will have a staff member who will be patrolling all of the areas more intensively, the Bay Beach area, and we'll have the ability to issue tickets, and we'll also have the ability to have cars removed.
Okay, thank you very much. Just one other thing. I spoke with Mr. Cookett over the past year. There were a number of issues when it comes to parking on the side streets and everything, and I was hoping that we could get together, maybe do something with side street parking for permits for the residents along, especially the one-way streets where it really gets congested. And I'm wondering if that's going to be addressed this year with the parking, the security.
Mr. Brady?
To Councilor Luberts, we have not addressed it as of yet. You may have had discussions with Mr. Cookett and that I'm not aware of. But I'll certainly take it back to him.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else with respect to that particular report? I don't know whether it's Mr. Walsh or Mr. Brady, but I'm thinking Mr. Walsh. With respect to the tender, I see that there is a variance in the town's favor with respect to that. And I think the report may have mentioned that if we need to enhance the security measures that we take depending on what goes on at the beach, that money would be available to apply to any additional costs?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. The money's in the budget until the end of the year.
Right. Thank you. Anything further on that report? Any other questions of any of the package? Mr. Wallace, with respect to IS-12, which relates to the tree removal contract, can you update us on what the plans are in terms of replanting for trees that are going to be cut down throughout the town?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Typically, a replanting following a removal is a one-year lag. We do have, I believe, two contracts coming up shortly. They likely won't appear before council because they're under the $50,000 threshold for council's approval. But we have quite a number of sites identified for planting through this spring and into the fall.
Thank you. And this report is a pretty graphic example of the number of trees in Fort Erie that are going to be affected. When I was at the Earth Day activities at NCC on Friday, the arborist there talked about 60 to 70% of the town's canopy ash trees. This contract just covers a very small area of the town of Fort Erie in the vicinity. So I guess we're all going to have to brace ourselves. I did have some questions, if there aren't any other councillors, with respect to IS-14, which is the Municipal Bridge and Culvert Assessment Report. And Mr. Walsh, I had a chance just to raise a couple of points. But if I could, page 3 of the report makes reference to the fact that this survey done by, or assessment done by Ellis, takes into account additional structure elements and components that aren't necessarily required by the Ministry of Transportation. Why would that be done?
In this case, Mr. Mayor, we wanted to get the, even though they weren't required by legislation, we wanted to get an assessment on smaller structures, because they make up the bulk of our asset group in this asset class. It will give us a better number on what our true fiscal requirements are going forward based on the condition of these assets.
Were there different terms of reference with respect to, I mean, I don't know whether there were, but it would appear that Ellis took on additional work. Were there different terms of reference in connection with both the 2013 and 2015 assessment?
Yes, there were. This current assessment, because of the additional structures, was about 3 times the work.
So in terms of the of Ellis looking at factors other than what the MTO requires, is that something that they did of their own initiative, or was that something that was part of the terms of reference for the assessment?
That was part of the scope, sir.
And so why would, I guess my question would be, why would the scope requirements?
Again, it was to determine our true fiscal requirements. Staff in-house do not have the skill set nor the time to go out and inspect these smaller structures on our own. Ellis is an expert in this type of work. They can do an inspection much, much more efficiently than we can. So it was felt to put that in the terms of reference for all the proponents.
What was the 2013 assessment done in-house?
No, it was done by a firm out of Windsor, Meta Engineering. And they just looked at the MTO requirements, which are larger structures. Certainly not insignificant, but it doesn't give a true picture of our bridge and culvert inventory nor fiscal issues.
So maybe you could just explain why the MTO would not be interested in the smaller structures, or is it just something that they feel is not part of their...
The MTO is worried about bridges falling down. They're not worried about a meter diameter culvert running under Holloway Bay Road collapsing.
The report made reference to there being additional material, I guess a fuller study, I guess aside from the letters from Ellis and the Appendix 1, there is a fuller report, and suggested counselors might be interested in that. I wonder if you could make that available to counselors that do want to take a look.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. That's it's available by PDF. I can send that out tomorrow.
I think that would be helpful because I'd like to get a little bit a better understanding of where some of these structures are located. Appendix 1 does make reference to a structure on a road. Some of them have several structures. Some of the dollars in terms of the work that's required is significant. There's a significant departure in some with respect to some of these structures between what the cost was based on 2013 assessment, what it is now, what the extent of work is that would be required then as opposed to now. There's also some reason in some of these letters that makes reference to differing types of structures. We're looking at work being recommended. Example on page 12 of the report, which goes into one of the letters from Ellis. There are tables 5 and 6. For now, it indicates that there are 8 structures, but for now, there are 12 structures that are in table 6 that are to be worked upon, which is $2 million. There's an explanation to some extent about why it's 12 as opposed to 8, but 3 of the structures are classified as being good, and yet they need work now. I don't understand that. It may be that you do because you're an engineer. Is there an explanation for that?
Without having the report right in front of me, I don't have the immediate explanation, but there is one in there. For instance, the structure, I'll give an example. A structure itself may be good or adequate, but there are certain elements such as scour protection, which is the rock bed in the creek in front and behind the bridge, that may need enhancement in order to protect the bridge itself, which is in good shape, as an example.
Okay, well, that's helpful, and I suppose when I get a chance to look at the full report, we'll know that. I've got a number of other questions which I can take up with you. One of the things that I found interesting was the number of safety rails that are being recommended. I'm presuming that those are safety rails that aren't currently in existence but are being suggested or recommended. And if I go through these letters, there's about 400 maybe plus with respect to safety rails, which I think includes areas where they do not currently exist. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, the engineer, Ellis Engineering, has reviewed a number of structures, or they review all the structures, taking into account a number of different codes, one of which is the design guide for Canadian roads. And if they've identified that the current guide rail does not meet those standards, they've identified it as a need.
Some of these, I think, are recommendations for additional safety rails. Is that your understanding?
That could be correct, yes.
Yeah, I think I'll leave it at that, but I'm going to support the recommendation, but I've got a lot of questions, and I've got serious concerns about whether the amount of money that's being suggested is actually the amount of money that we're going to require. However, I'm not an engineer, and I don't pretend to be. Are there any other questions of any of the reports that are in the consent agenda? Councillor Lubert?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Radicop. Not any questions, just want to make it a comment on report COS 03-2016, the Freedom of the City. I found it very interesting while I was reading through the report on the protocol that our museum board had to go through to with the other organizations that will be marching through the town. And I just found it interesting, and I'm glad that the museum board was on top of everything and making sure that the proper protocol was followed. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good comment, Councillor Lubritz, because the committee, including the Mr. Wilson and Jane Davies from the library board, have put in a remarkable amount of time with respect to this. This is going to be an extravaganza for the ages, I'm sure. Yeah, this is quite unique, and not many municipalities have this type of recognition to military units. Okay, if there aren't any other questions, I'm sorry, Councillor Knight. Yes.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Walsh, I just want to loop back around to IS 14-2006. And I was just wondering if you could explain the difference in between the asset management plan, which seemed very generic and to lump all of this information together, versus this information that was much more detailed in our asset management plan that we're supposed to be following for budget purposes. It had lumped together almost all the infrastructure. How should we, can you provide a recommendation on how we should use the Ellis information in relation to what was in the asset management plan?
For you, Mr. Mayor, the information that was contained in the asset management plan, as you correctly state, was very generic. It was based on the previous engineer's report, the MEDA engineering report from 2013. One of my goals in the commissioning of this year's study was to get a more accurate figure on what our true financial needs were with respect to bridges and culverts. The asset management report didn't identify a dollar amount in particular to bridges and culverts, whereas this exercise has. As we move forward, we have a number of master plans being generated, water, wastewater. Facilities will be next year, hopefully. We have our road survey. Through that, we will be identifying asset classes and the particular financial needs going forward. The asset management plan generated a single lump sum number that wasn't broken down between any of the asset classes, which included fire, computers, I forget what the other classes were, major classes in the, but going forward, we'll have more accurate numbers. So over the next 2 years, we should be able to get a more comprehensive view.
Councillor Knight.
Thank you, Your Worship. I guess just a follow-up comment to that, because I had raised it during budget concerns that I felt that the asset management plan was very generic, didn't give us a true budgeting picture. So you're saying, Mr. Walsh, that for everything that falls under your jurisdiction and infrastructure, over the next 2 years, we'll be able to do some finite planning based on specific asset classes?
That's
correct. I'm understanding you correctly?
That's correct,
okay.
Yes.
So we'll know that, you know, maybe $500,000 for roads is too much. It should be $300,000. $300,000 should go to wastewater. Am I correct that we'll be able to get a more detailed plan?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's very good, and that's what I hope we're all driving to.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Any other councillors? Then I'll call a question on the reports and recommendations that are in the consent agenda package. All those in favor? Carried. And Councillor Pissarro, I wonder if I could hand the chair to you to do reports IS 08, 9, and 10.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. I'm safe to do this. I live in a house with a gravel driveway, so no conflicts here. First up is report IS-08-2016, award of tender for 2016 asphalt patching program, contract number ISO-16T-ASPHPA, if I could have a mover for that report. Councillor McDermott, thank you very much. That's on the floor for comments or questions. Seeing none from my colleagues, I do have a couple to you, Mr. Walsh, on this contract. We have two other contracts coming before us tonight immediately following 09 and 10, and those consist mostly of scheduled works where we know exactly what works are to be done, whereas the award of tender we're doing now for the asphalt patching also contains an element of kind of as-it-happens projects. I know that our lowest bid is a company out of Toronto. I know their references have checked out. What do we have in place as far as performance measures to ensure that we get the timely service that we've been used to in the past? I just want to make sure that they'll be mobilizing when we need them and not necessarily waiting for a critical mass of projects to occur before they come down this way. I noticed that the one reference we mentioned was Oakville. I'm just wondering if they have any municipalities closer to Niagara they work with, or if we're kind of now at the kind of periphery of their zone. Mr. Walsh?
Councillor, the what guarantees do we have in the contract? We have the ability to cancel this contract at any time if we don't feel they are meeting our level of service expectations. This is a one-year contract. There's an option for a second year in that. That's a carrot to the contractor. And certainly if they're not meeting expectations, we would not extend the contract beyond beyond this year. So those are the two sort of the carrot and the stick in this contract. I don't know what Hilton Construction's business plans are for their work around this side of the peninsula, whether they're trying to get a contract in St. Catharines or Stony Creek or wherever. I can't comment on that, but supposing it would be in their best interest to get that mass going.
Okay, so for the purpose of the next 12 months, we're confident that they'll be timely to our needs when we need them.
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a question to Mr. Walsh under on page 3 of the report, same report, the ISO 8. The under financials and staffing implications, the first paragraph there, can you just give a little better explanation on this? I'm confused as to how this is all working out with the fact that it was the contract is more than what we budgeted. Now, I know we did have some supplementary requests and that were granted for this, but this paragraph seems to be that it's outside of that supplementary. Can you explain a little better, Mr. Wolf?
For you, Mr. Chair. The contract that we've put forward is based on estimated quantities that would be developed through the year. A lot of these quantities don't exist right now, but through water main repairs, water service repairs, et cetera, would develop. It's based on previous year's expectations and requirements. As you know, we've had a very mild winter this year, and the number of water main breaks and service breaks that we've had is down significantly. So we expect not to expend $270,000. The amount that we have in the budget right now is $173,800. The works we have identified is not that much. So what this report is asking is that the contract be awarded to Hilton, and we will work up to the amount of $173,800.
Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much. I can see that we work our way to the $173,800. If that's where we're going to work ourselves to, why are we committing to the $270,000, and how does that affect the contract from Hilton? I mean, we're approving what they're asking, and I'm confused as to how we can tell them, yes, we'll give you $270,000 for this work, and then, but when you get to $173,800, we're going to cut the contract off. Why don't we just only honor the $173,800?
Mr. Walsh?
For you, Mr. Chair, this is a unit price contract. So for every ton of asphalt they put down, they get X amount. They're not guaranteed, and that's explicitly stated in this contract that it's a unit price contract. They are not guaranteed $270,000. Based on the schedule of quantities we had, which are estimates, generate $270,000 worth of work.
Okay, thank you very much. That gives me a better understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Lubberts. Seeing no hands in the air, all in favor? All opposed? That's carried. ISO 9-2016, award of tender for road resurfacing, hot mix asphalt 2016, contract number ISE 16T RSRF, H in parentheses, 16. A mover? Councilor Zanko? We got to come up with some simpler report names. Looks like an algebra equation. Comments or questions regarding the road resurfacing contract? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. IS-10-2016, award of tender for road resurfacing, surface treatment 2016, contract number ISC-16T-RSRF, ST in parentheses 16. Moved by Councilor McDermott. Comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? That carries. I'll turn the chair back to Mayor Redekamp.
Thank you very much, Councilor Passero. And that takes us to planning and development services. And is that Councilor McDermott? Councilor McDermott, you have the chair.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and development services is now in session. We do have a delegation. Ms. Lockwood from the Ward Area SPCA. Welcome to council. And could I have your name and your address?
Yes,
sir. For the record?
Martha Lockwood, 134 Belvedere Road, Crystal Beach. Good evening, Mayor Redekop, councillors, staff, and public. My name is Martha Lockwood, and I'm the current board chair of the Fort Erie SPCA. My sidekick here and oldest child is Cajun, my dog, who was a former resident of our SPCA, who was brought here almost 10 years ago by a rescue organization called BARC from Louisiana, and she is a Hurricane Katrina survivor. This evening, I want to tell you a little bit about our SPCA. As you consider renewing the contract we have had with the town since 1977. We would like to continue serving the town for the next 5 years and look at the increase of 1.5% per year, which is in line with the town's budget increases. The contract we have is to provide animal control for the town of Fort Erie. This is separate from how we function as an SPCA. In our service to the community, we enforce the town's bylaw, 1997, respond to calls for dangerous dogs and dogs running at large, illegal breeders and those who surpass the limit of 3 dogs, licensed dogs for their protection and safe return if they are loose, enforce stoop and scoop laws, patrol the Fort Erie area, provide vet care for orphan animals, inspect kennel and boarding facilities, take care of all injured animals, whether they be domestic or wildlife, that are in distress, and handle approximately 1,300 to 1,600 animals yearly, including cats, dogs, rabbits, rats, guinea pigs, birds, pigs, wildlife, and the occasional deer. We have been a charitable organization for 62 years since 1954 and provide Humane Society services as well. The Fort Erie SPCA's role and our service to the town as animal control agents go hand in hand. Our infrastructure is in place so we can serve our community, fulfilling both roles effectively and efficiently. Our staff is vaccinated and prepared for a rabies outbreak. To provide more comfort to our residents this past year, we added 600 square feet to our facility on Jarvis Street. We are affiliated with the Ontario SPCA to investigate suspected cases of animal cruelty and abuse in Fort Erie. We employ 2 OSPCA agents and a 3rd is presently in training, in addition to our dedicated shelter staff. Our first priority is always the animals and their needs. Something you may not know about us is our association with other enforcement agencies, especially in times of emergencies. We're often called to assist the NRP if animals are present at a crime scene or an investigation. The fire department when a residential fire occurs and a cat or dog needs temporary shelter until its owners are settled. EMS, if someone dies in the night and we are there to take care of a pet that has lost its master. Customs, when animals are coming into Canada and the owners are arrested and the pets become residents of our boarding facilities. And public health, if an animal needs to be quarantined, and notification if we find birds that are carrying West Nile. Many times these services are provided at all hours of the day and night. Our finances undergo an annual independent audit to ensure we are being good stewards of the funds we receive through contracts and donations. The donations received by the SPCA allow us to make improvements on our facility, equipment, and services. The use of these funds is projected in our five-year plan and gives us a cushion in case of unforeseen expenses. Our hope is that you will continue our good relationship and the consistent and excellent services that we have provided for the town of Fort Erie and all the animals that capture our hearts and enrich our lives. We continue to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Thank you for your time, and I welcome any questions you might have and reserve the right to enlist the expertise of our shelter manager and assistant manager.
Thank you, Ms. Lockwood. Are there any questions of the delegation? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair McDermott. Martha, that was one of the best presentations I've heard in a very long time, so congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
I do have a few comments and some questions. You know that I personally financially contribute to the SPCA, so I do know that it's a worthy cause. And I do know that the Board of Directors work hard jointly with the management team at the SPCA. And in particular, Mary Reinhart, for her spectacular fundraising abilities. And I understand that there's an annual concert that she's putting on this June 5th.
I was going to invite you all at the end, yeah.
Oh, okay. And by the way, you know that she's going to be performing at the Hollywood North Party on the Patio for us on May 14th as part of our fundraiser for the Center for the Arts.
Excellent.
I do have a few questions for you, and I am interested in the fact that I noticed in a report that's coming up that there are some wage disparities. And the contribution that the town of Fort Erie will be making is going to help bridge the gap to that disparity. Is that going to happen this year?
That's the plan. We've, in the past few years, been increasing steadily the wages of our workers. There's certainly, they certainly deserve it. We have lost some good staff to other SPCAs in the region because of the fact that we paid a little lower simply because we're a smaller market, but we've been steadily working towards closing that gap, and I think we've been doing a good job.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Chair, if I may. Does the SPCA currently have any training opportunities for its staff, and will this extra cushion, you know, the extra part that the Town of Fort Erie will be giving you that helps with the disparity in wages also help with offsetting some of those training courses?
I guess I'd like to know specifically what kind of courses you mean, because I know our agents are go for regular training with the OSPCA for not only the laws, how to enforce them, but how to de-escalate situations, how to deal with the public, et cetera, et cetera. So anything more specific?
So all of the staff does training on a regular basis with respect to how to deal with conflicts and
Our kennel workers don't simply because they don't really see the public. They're there to care for the animals. So they don't have much interaction. Like, they're not out on the road or anything. They're just the shelter.
I see Wendy is wanting to
jump up.
So are there any other training programs that your staff goes through or would like to go through in terms of personal development and
One of you guys want to answer that better than me?
We do do any training that comes available, especially through the chamber or any group speakers. How to handle aggressive people, aggressive animals. There's all kinds of training throughout the year, and we attend anything.
And when a complaint is brought to the SPCA, how is that handled?
Like what department? Or it comes through our reception, our complaint. It's stated, it's written on a complaint sheet, it's given up.
And so when it partakes to our bylaws, who investigates that? Who is in charge of investigating the animal control officer? And is there a form of analytics that you use in tracking the number of complaints received, how those complaints are resolved, and is that monitored for the speed of resolutions, and is that given to the town of Fort Erie so that we have an opportunity to peruse that data?
Mm-hmm. The amount of complaints, monthly complaints, you get those. Last year there was 1,116 of them.
Wow.
Handled in a timely manner. Amount of what's dealt with.
And
that's not including the neglects. The neglects.
So do you break that down for the corporation so that they know what exactly, so 116 complaints come in about animal abuse and that's documented, 115 out of the 116 were resolved and this is how they were resolved, and do you analyze that afterwards and look at quality assurance programs for the future, how we're going to take that information and roll it into a more effective policy for the future? Does the board work with you on that? Okay. Is that something that the board is apprised of on a continual basis? Okay.
Some complaints and issues are of a nature that they're protected by privacy laws, mm-hmm. and those would be monitored and overseen by the.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Your Worship.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for your presentation this evening and the information you provided to us. I just had a couple of questions, if I might, Mr. Chair, and the first relates to reference on page 3 of our report to net assets or reserves, and I'm not exactly sure what that means. The net assets could be the value of your assets, equipment, that type of thing. Your reserves, I'm sure, mean money that you're holding for future use. But it says that they grew from $451,000 to $516,000, presumably during 2015.
We're just trying to make sure we've got the same page as you have in front of you.
Yeah, it's page 3 of the report, and it's under SPCA highlights.
Of the financial
third
report?
Bullet.
No, I think they've got a different.
I don't have the financial report. But you may. Or I could ask the author of the staff report, if it's not.
Your Worship, these numbers were given to us through the.
Part of the financial statement.
Good enough to.
I'll ask. I can ask that then when we get to the report, Mr. Chair. And then the other thing that I noticed in Table 1 of our report, which is on page 4, there's a reference to the amount of money that the town has paid to the SPCA since 2004. And the license fees that have been collected, and I noticed there was quite a significant increase until about 4 years ago. It's somewhat plateaued. Is there a reason for the license fees having somewhat hit a ceiling 4 years ago?
I think our agents have gotten to a pretty high percentage of licensed animals in the in our town. Also, I know our fees have increased slightly. And that was approved a number of years back. But I think we've gotten as many negligent owners as we can. There's always more, but I mean, we could employ someone probably full time just to chase.
And if I might, just one final question, Mr. Chair, and that is, at the very beginning of your comments, Ms. Lockwood, you mentioned that the request of the SPCA is for an increase of 1.5% per year for the next 5 years, and somewhat, I think, yes, that was in line with the town increases of something or other. I'm more interested in knowing whether the 1.5% is what the SPCA needs, because I'm interested in what your needs are in order to run an effective, efficient operation. And I think Councillor Butler has also made reference to some of the concerns that we would have in terms of staff compensation and quality of service.
We would be very that figure. We want to be in line with the rest of the town's budget, for certainly. But I think we feel pretty confident that would meet our needs.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm starting to feel like former Councillor Tim Haggerty. He always had one last question. I have another last question. Just to follow up on what Councillor Butler said, are we going to see, if this report is approved, if the increase is approved, are we going to see some of these monies go into increased wages for the frontline workers?
Most definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Are there any other questions? Okay. Councillor Zanko and then Passero.
Thank you. Through you to Ms. Lockwood. You had mentioned in reference to the 1.5% increase, you had said that it's Fort Erie tends to be a lower paid organization, and there's some reasons behind that. What type of studies have you done in the past to be able to ensure or be able to be confident that we are in fact the lowest paid SPCA organization?
I didn't say the lowest, like in Canada.
No.
In the region, because we talk to the other shelters, the other SPCAs, so we know what their workers make, and we've been trying to raise our, when we first started this process, probably 5 years ago, we realized how low our wages to other SPCA workers in the Niagara region. So we did a pretty good jump that year, and we've been,
we did another big jump this year
to close that gap. So there's a pretty free flow of information and a good relationship with the other SPCAs, Niagara Falls, Welland, and and they're unionized. We're not. Don't want to be.
I'm wondering, and I don't know, maybe I should save this question to when the report's on the floor, but is that a type of information that you submit with your request to the town? Just a comparison. And the only reason I'm asking is because when I see a 1.5% over 5 years, and, you know, it's not something we looked at, I just want to know, how would we know that? So
send in a report to the financial department.
Okay, perfect.
That wages from Welland and Lincoln County shelters in comparison to ours.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. No, nothing further. Thank you.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Lockwood, Ms. Cromley, for coming tonight. I'm just trying to get a handle as I go through the reports on how much it actually cost to run the SPCA last year as far as expenses. And the closest I get is one of the bullet points under SPCA highlights, which says total revenues and expenses are expected to increase slightly from 471,823 in 2016 to 479,379 in 2019. I don't know how that breaks out as far as revenue and expenses, but what were the actual expenses for last year? What does it cost to run your organization?
Give us a second.
They have it, but sure. I don't know if council has it.
Submitted this to your finance department.
Wait a minute.
That's okay. When the report comes forward, I'll ask our director of finance that information, but maybe I can ask it in this way. On page 4 of our report, which is the one Mr. Stevenson showed you, under 2015 revenue history since 2004, it shows our town payment of $140,143, license fees of $128,210 for a total of $262,793. Is that what it costs to run the agency, or is it more?
I'm sorry. We were trying to find where you were.
No worries. Page 4 of the report, there's a table that says revenue history.
I don't think this report is... This isn't the report we have. Yeah. Okay. This is embarrassing. Excuse us.
That's okay.
There we go.
It helps when we're all reading from the same book. So that chart shows the contract with the town for every year up to 2015. It also shows how much money you've brought in through licensing, which is what the mayor had referenced. So the total is $260,000 and change, I think. My question is that roughly how much it costs to run the organization, or is that just a small portion of the pie?
That's animal control.
That's just the animal control portion.
Yeah, that's not the SPCA.
Yeah. So ballpark figure, are we looking at $300,000, $400,000?
For the whole operation?
Yeah.
Well, you're into the $300,000, $400,000.
Okay. How do you make up that difference?
Oh, fundraise. We fundraise. We have a lot of sponsors. We have sponsors, fundraising, bingo, lottery,
fees for
any way we can.
Fees for boarding
services.
Adoption services.
So the money that the town is giving you, we're just paying for one service to be provided, but really there's a bigger machine that's involved in order for us to be even able to get that one service provided to us.
Exactly.
Okay. You mentioned an addition that had opened up last year. How was that financed?
Well, lucky enough, a lady was reading the Times. She saw an article of a Doberman Pinscher that was found in the room. Bring him, because we needed to spend $3,000 to get him up. Option. And we mentioned in the article that we were going to put on an addition, and she like that, and she called me and was talking, and she just said, well, I'd like to help out with that, so she came down. We have huge supporters. We had another lady right after that who appreciated growing, and they're trying to get into the future to make inviting to the public and, you know, save more animals and provide more homes, and she also donated $25,000. Godsend, it's made our shelter grow. We're able to loosen rooms now, and they can run free without cages.
The money that we provide you then, the $140,000 plus or minus, is really just going towards the animal control provisions. We're not really subsidizing the organization as a whole. Okay.
Most of our complaints have to do with animal control.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Are there any further questions, Your Worship?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I've now got a copy of the financial statement, the audited financial statement, which you folks have. And I think in the future it would be helpful if Council also received a copy, just so that we've got at least a fuller picture. So it appears that if one looks at the statement of operations, which is on page 5, that... The revenues over expenses resulted in a $65,000 surplus, and the year before it was a $45,000 surplus. I appreciate that we're only purchasing a part of the services that you provide. We're purchasing basically animal control services. You're operating an animal shelter, and you have a bunch of other elements to your operation, and you have a variety of funding sources, including, I presume, donations, which you receive from time to time. So how do we square, or how do you square, surpluses of $45,000 and $65,000 for 2014-15 and the need to increase your workers' wages because they're less than what others are receiving in Niagara, and it hasn't been done yet. That was the question.
Shelter has grown, and grow in a direction where we can keep on, because there's an awful lot of training that goes into one person. I had people turn down the job because of the wages. And in the last couple years, we just put on, like I said, for us, the cost of the addition was substantial. It's the first time the SPCA's had an addition of any major sort, cosmetics, for 20 years or plus, 30 years. So we're cautious. I'll tell you, cautious. Wendy's cheap. Let's get right down to it. If she can save a buck, she will. And I appreciate that because it's allowed the SPCA to have that good buffer in case of unforeseen circumstances. And I think, and I appreciate what you're saying, we don't want to carry a huge balance. On the other hand, if we got into trouble somehow, the money is there and we won't have to close our doors or lay people off. So I think being very fiscally conservative in this way is a good thing. You never know when a truck's going to break down.
Drains.
Yeah. The plumbing system. I mean, it's an old building. A long-term worker leaves and we have to pay severance. I mean, it's good to have a chunk of change in the bank to deal with unforeseen.
Well, speaking of chunks of change, you do have a chunk of change. According to this, you've got about $343,000 in reserves.
But
from your general
fund,
another 41.
I was just going to say, if we were ever engaged in a legal battle or anything of that sort, that money would go pretty quickly.
Yeah, the year.
Well, I don't know that, but I guess I'm just a little concerned about the desire and the indication in the report that we have about wanting to utilize part of our 1.5% increase if we approve this, to increase the wages of your workers, and yet the last 2 years you've generated over $110,000 in surpluses, and yet that still seems to be a problem for your organization.
We've
increased it quite a bit.
Yeah, and we've also earmarked, if you look at part of the report you received, the $454,000 is earmarked for improvements. If you look at if you look at our five-year plan, it's pretty itemized there. As to what.
I don't think I've got your five-year plan, do I? Okay.
Oh, Jonathan.
Okay, well, that would be helpful if we had that type of information. And so I'm not wanting to be critical of the SPCA. I think you do a wonderful job. I've been a supporter of the SPCA since I was the council representative longer than I want to say, and you have the facilities, you have a lot of responsibility, we rely upon your good work, but there are, I guess what I'm thinking is that staff should be providing us with additional background so that we get the full picture. Otherwise, it looks like there's something that staff doesn't want us to know. I'm sure you didn't come forward in that fashion, so I thank you for your information, and next time perhaps staff will provide us with all the information that we need to make it.
Thank you. Oh, you, Councillor Butler.
Just wanted to clarify, because I don't have that in front of me. If you could tell me what was the total budget, operating budget. So for the period ending 2015, your total operating budget was $526,000 approximately. So our portion given to you is representative of over a quarter of your operating expenses, correct? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Laca.
Thank you very much.
And again, we'd like to invite you to our concert just across the parking lot on June 5th. It's a great time, great talent, and you'll enjoy yourselves for sure.
It's all for the animal. It's all for the critters.
So we will move on to 8.2 under reports, PDS 36-2016 Animal Control Services Contract. A mover, please. Zenko. Councilor Lubitz. Any comments or questions? Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Chair. I have some questions that have arisen considering the information. First off, we weren't provided a copy of the financials, so if Mr. Jansen could please send that over to us. And also, if it's possible, through you, Mr. Chair, the SPCA said that they submitted their five-year plan. I'd also like that sent so that we could read it, just so that we can see the direction they're going. And as Councillor Butler pointed out, we contribute 25% of their budget. So I just have some concerns also. This is a very large contract. At 140 grand over 5 years, that's 700,000. Why didn't we follow procurement policy? Well, I'd like that question answered as well. And I know that Mr. Cookett's not here today, and I'm not sure Mr. Brady has an answer. And I don't want to put Mr. Brady on the spot to answer. But those are the questions I have, and if we could get some answers, that'd be fantastic.
Mr. Brady?
I believe our treasurer will answer the or attempt to answer the last question.
Thank you.
Through the chair to Councillor Nutt. I believe if you look at the policies affecting proposals section of the report, it was written to address that somewhat. It does note that it was brought forward as an item under the single source section of the purchasing policy under 23, and that section would have some components where a few different areas where there's only one known source of supply, or where compatibility of a purchase with existing facilities or services is paramount. So I believe when it was discussed, it was brought forward under that section. With an alternative to consider moving forward with a full RFP or even an expression of interest, rather.
Also not.
Thank you, Mr. Jansen. I don't believe that's entirely accurate. And looking around the region at some of the other municipalities have been doing and are doing, there have been expressions of interest from multiple agencies, and I think that, you know, we can pick and choose under the single source and, you know, cut this to state that, but I'm just not comfortable with that. And I think until we have all the information, we can read the five. This contract doesn't expire until May 31st. I'm not in a position where I'm comfortable making a decision tonight to move forward with this. I'd like to read the financials. I'd like to read the five-year plan. So I'm going to motion that we postpone this for 2 weeks. Looking at the clerk for confirmation, Ms. Bubanko. So I'm going to move that forward. I'd like to move forward with that motion, but I think the mayor would like to.
Madam Clerk.
Through you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I'm not sure what the question is.
Councilor Nutt.
I was just looking for the date for 2 weeks from now, because I'd like to postpone this for 2 weeks from now.
Certainly. Through you, Mr. Chair, the next committee meeting is scheduled for May 2nd.
Then I'd like to make motion to postpone this until May 2nd so that we have time to read all the information and we can make a more informed decision.
Your Worship.
No, there's a motion on the floor, and there's no debate with respect to the motion to postpone. Right, and we've got the timing. I guess the only question I would have with respect to that is of staff. I don't know who on staff. Is that problematic for the SPCA at all?
My understanding is that the SPCA contract is still throughout May, and May 2nd is at the beginning of May.
I do have a question, Your Worship. Mr. Brady, I'm just wondering, we're dealing with this issue this evening, and we're finding out that we don't have all the information that we require to make a decision. I'm just wondering, I mean, it's not fair even to the people from the SPCA who have in good faith put forward all the information that we require to make decisions here. Now, I don't understand this because for most parts, when we do get reports, we get reported right out of this world. And how come we don't have all the information in front of us today? It's a little perplexing. Is there any answer to that?
The answer to the question is we've provided the information that has been normally provided as a part of this type of report in the past. I've heard you say as a group that you would like further information. We have that information, and I'm quite certain that it will be provided to you as quickly as we can. And I believe our Director of Finance has it, and we'll send it along.
Thank you for that. Back to you, Your Worship.
Vote on the motion to postpone.
Just one moment before we do. Just because of rules of procedure, can we have the clerk clearly read the motion? I'm going to ask before Councillor Lubbers does.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not certain if Councillor Nutt's intention is simply to postpone until the May 2nd, 2016 meeting, or if he also wants in the motion to be included to give staff or give Council further time to look at more information. I didn't know if you wanted that detail in there.
No, I just to postpone until May 2nd so that when the additional information comes in, we have time before the contract expires, we're able to read it, and if we have additional questions of the SPCA, it gives them time to properly respond to them as well. So I think in all fairness, we need all the information. So I'm asking that we postpone this just till May 2nd.
All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. That takes us to infrastructure services, and that is Councillor Zanko. Okay. Need a program.
Thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure services is now in session. We don't have any delegations or presentations this evening, so that brings us to report IS 13-2016, award of tender for Catherine Street and Kinsmill Street South Road Reconstruction, contract number ISE-16T-CATH06. Can I get a mover?
So moved.
Mayor Redicott? Are there any comments or questions? Mayor Redicott?
I just had a couple of questions, and I'm wondering if the if we could put that High Street addition into context. So that's additional work that was revealed as it was work being done on Catherine Street underground infrastructure.
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Madam Chair, yes, that's correct. The work on High Street concerns the storm system.
Right, and so we need an extra $173,000 in order to meet the budgets that have been submitted as part of the tender, and that's the excess of what we've previously budgeted. So why would we be asking for $250,000?
Again, through you, Madam Chair, it gives us just a little bit of a cushion. I would rather have a little bit of a cushion than have to come back to council in the middle of a construction project asking for more money.
On the other hand, the good news is that we may qualify for a regional grant, which would assist in helping to fund the cost of this. And if we were completely successful with respect to this project, is it $1 million that we would get?
Through you, Madam Chair, the portion for this contract is $794,000. So if we are successful in the full amount, it would certainly offset the $250,000 ask.
Thank you. And I just had one final question, if I can figure out. This relates to the recommendation that we hire the design engineer to do the contract administration and inspection services. And the explanation on page 4 was something to the effect about compatibility and continuity. And I guess my question is there ever a large contract where design work is done where compatibility and continuity wouldn't suggest that whoever designed the project should also be doing contract administration and inspections? Is there such an animal that would ever exist?
Mr. Walsh?
I don't believe there is, Madam Chair, and if I can point to some previous work experience when I was much, much younger. I was working for a firm, and we were hired as the construction engineer, but we were not the designing engineer, and it led to a myriad of problems with respect to interpretation and design philosophy, et cetera. That project was a little more complicated than this road reconstruction, but it's a perfect example of retaining continuity in the engineering through to construction.
Madam Chair, I guess the issue that I would have with this is it looks like the engineering or the design engineering component of this project is just over $82,000. And yet the contract administration and inspections is not quite three times that, but pretty darn close. So really the competition here boils down to who gets the design contract. Is that what this is all about?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Madam Chair. In this case, yes, it was, because we just asked for a proposal based on design work. We've changed our MO in how we authorize engineering contracts now, in that we look at the entire process from design through to construction, asking for skill sets and a cost estimate based on the entirety of the work. So we'll have a much more competitive process going forward.
That's very interesting and very helpful. With respect to this particular contract, were there competitive bids with respect to the design engineering component?
Again, Madam Chair, certainly. I think we had six proponents submit proposals for this project. It was a very competitive proposal competition. The entirety of the firms that submitted were all qualified on doing this. This project, AMEC Faster Wheeler, I believe they were just called AMEC back then. They were the highest technically, I believe, and they had the lowest price in addition. So it was win-win.
And as part of that submission, would there have been any reference to contract administration and inspection component?
I believe we had the phrase. Contract administration and inspection will be considered at the appropriate time.
So going forward, and I'm not sure if this is what Mr. Walsh was saying, Madam Chair, are we talking going forward about when we put out a request for tenders for design work, are we going to be asking as well for information relative to what the contract administration and inspection components might be for the if the
Mr. Walsh?
That's correct, Madam Chair. We just closed a couple of proposals for Stanton and Highland Street in Fort Erie. It didn't come to council because it was below the threshold of approval. But in both those proposals, we've asked for pricing and skill sets to cover the entirety of the project.
Okay, so now I'm getting concerned again. So that's a design contract for less than $50,000. Is that what we were just told?
That's correct.
And the successful bidder, based on the compatibility and continuity doctrine, is going to likely get the contract administration and inspection portion of the contract for those two projects, which I presume are being tendered jointly once they go forward. Is that what I'm hearing?
Unless something drastic happens, that's the plan, yes.
Madam Chair, I would think that although the design portion might be under $50,000, the total amount, including contract administration and inspections, would be over $50,000. And I question whether that's the type of contract that ought not to come before council, if we're heading into those waters.
Mr. Walsh?
I'm not sure what the... looking out in the audience right now, Mr. Stojanovic, our manager of engineering, might be able to address this as to the entirety of the proposal amount for those that have not been introduced to George Stojanovic. George has been with us almost 2 years now, very dapper today.
He says almost three.
Three. I wasn't sure where the chair was. I was just reading through. So I believe it was Madam Chair, was it?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Stid, and I'm going to...
S is fine.
I'm going to just want to call you Mr. S.
So Kelly made reference to a couple of contracts, and Mayor Rudikoff has made comment in regards to those. One's Highland and one's Stanton, and they're for complete road reconstructions. And so as Kelly has indicated, going forward, we're including design and contract administration. Contract administration inspection services is an optional purchase component. And in internal discussions with our purchasing group, the direction was that the contract administration inspection services, if we so purchase them, they would come through as administrative report to council.
Since I have the opportunity,
yes.
And it's Mr. Stojanovic, right? If you have a name like Rudikoff, it's easy to say your last name. So there's still the possibility that whoever got the design work for Stanton and Highland may not get the contract administration.
That is correct.
But you're familiar with the compatibility and continuity doctrine. So why wouldn't we simply, you're shaking your head for the people that are listening at home in the affirmative, why wouldn't we simply make that the tender so that when these engineers put in their bids, it's for their technical expertise, which I understand they're evaluated on, as well as the components of the contract that they're submitting, or the bid that they're submitting, design, contract administration, inspections. Why wouldn't we do that right at the get-go?
And Madam Chair, the reason that avenue isn't taken is that it gives staff the opportunity to not go with the design consultant if staff is not satisfied with the results of the project.
Of the design aspect.
So it doesn't lock staff's hands, so we have an opportunity to not purchase contract administration inspection services through that corporation.
In terms of the contract, if I might, Madam Chair, in terms of the contract, once the design work is done, that, I suppose, gives the engineer that did the design work bit of a leg up in terms of the contract, because the contract is going to proceed based on the design that they've put forward, design work. I don't know how technical or how different these projects would be from one to the other. I suppose the basic engineering principles would be the same. I suppose the location, the type of soil, the depth of whatever, the infrastructure that's being replaced, those would all be variables. Is that correct, Madam Chair?
Mr. Stojanovic?
Madam Chair, that's correct. I mean, those are certainly variables. The point that I was, again, trying to make in regards to staff satisfaction is in terms of staff satisfaction with the performance of the design engineer for the contract. So if staff weren't satisfied with their performance during design, then we have the opportunity of not going with contract administration inspection services with that particular firm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That carries. That brings us to new business and inquiries. Does any of my colleagues have any inquiries or new business? Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a quick question with respect to the report to Council in May for transit route, bus stops, and facility improvement. And I'm just wondering if you could tell me, will there be a formal presentation that will be made?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Butler. Is that in terms of the results of the study? Yes, I believe that's in the proposal document.
Thank you.
Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to our Fire Chief, Mr. Kauplin. He seems to be our liaison for the Hydro Tower project that was taking place in the South End. And I'm just wondering, my question is twofold, is A, has that been completed? And B, do we know when remediation efforts will take place for the surrounding area?
Through the Chair to Councillor Pizarro. For your first question, yes, actually the first part of it is complete. In this weekend, we had a switch of power over on Sunday night. And when they did that, if you recall, about 2 years ago, they had to turn the power off for 8 hours just to do an inspection. Well, now that that project is complete, they were able to switch the power over for a very short period of time. So right now, those lines are active. That is where our power is coming from. And then next Sunday, once they finish the repairs, that is why they have to switch the power over for a very short period of time overnight. So I guess a long-winded answer to your question, yes, it is complete. The second part, they will be coming back. The last discussion I had with the company that did it is in the spring. Once the weather is clear, they'll be coming back and re-sodding and seeding the area, which I'm assuming would be very shortly.
Anything further? That closes infrastructure, business status report. Are there any questions or comments with regard to the infrastructure service business status report? Mr. Walsh, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a point of clarification in response to Councillor Butler's question regarding the transit route bus stop and facility improvement study. The RFP price came in at $38,000, so again below council's threshold for approval, so that will not be on next month's docket.
Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious as to whether there would be changes in the bus routes, and so that's the presentation I was actually looking for.
And that's what I answered. Once they've gone through the study, they will be coming to council to make presentation, as well as I believe they'll be having an open house.
Oh, okay. So that won't be done until later in the year.
That's later.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything further regarding the business status report? Seeing that there isn't, that closes infrastructure services, and I'd like to hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko, and that takes us to corporate and community services. Councillor Passero.
Yep, we're going to throw you another curveball. Actually, Councillor Nutt is going to chair this tonight.
Or not. As long as somebody takes it.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate and Community Services is now open. There are no presentations and delegations, so we'll move to 10.2 reports. CAO-05-LC-06-2016. Can I have a mover? So moved by Councillor Zanko. That report is on the floor for discussion. Any comments or questions? Councillor Luberts, I'll let you go, and then the Chair will recognize Councillor Passero.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just on page 2 of the minutes, the actual minutes, item number 4, the land sales application request for part of Burnside. In the middle of the paragraph there, it says that it was noted that a similar request to purchase part of Burnside Avenue was received recently and denied by both the Land Committee and Council. I'm just wondering, if we denied a purchase earlier, why are we, or why was this purchase, this new purchase, approved or carried?
Brady?
Through to Councillor Luberts. The purchase that came in this time was slightly different, and the committee looked at it and determined that it was appropriate given the circumstances.
Yes, thank you very much. Could you just explain what the differences were?
Mr. Brady?
I don't have the minutes in front of me right now. I can just 1 second.
Chair, I recognize Your Worship. If you'd like to comment on it.
Yeah, I was at the meeting and actually raised the issue about the apparent inconsistency. Excuse me, if you look at Appendix 1.4, which is part of the report, you'll see these various road allowances that emanate south from Service Road 2. And so Burnside and Delaware Avenue are the main exterior road allowances. The McKenzie and Lemke are cross road allowances. McKenzie being one that happens to be between property owned by the same property owner. So what's north of McKenzie, what's south of McKenzie are owned by the same person. The staff's position is that closing McKenzie doesn't materially affect the flow of pattern if this plan were opened up, whereas Burnside runs directly to, as does Delaware, directly to the service road. And so closing off McKenzie simply creates one parcel of land that could potentially be developed but would have to have some type of internal roadway at some point. But the thinking was, and Mr. Brady, you can correct me because these were your arguments, there wasn't really much benefit in keeping McKenzie Street open at that point.
That's correct. I have the plan in front of me now. Burnside is the road that was discussed before, and there was concern that we wanted to be able to maintain that, but that with McKenzie being sold to the owner of the lands, both to the north and the lands to the south, you did have an amalgamation of properties, which is desirable, whether it be in a rural area or whether it be in an urban area.
Yes, well, thank you very much. But I think, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it says in the minutes that Burnside is included in the request to purchase. So committee members discussed the land sale application request to purchase part of Burnside Avenue, part of McKenzie, part of Delaware, and part of Lemke. So you're purchasing part of Burnside that you're approving it now, the Land Committee approved, and yet whoever came forward earlier was denied. And I know you're talking about McKenzie, but the report here shows that we're going to Burnside as well. So
If I might, the recommendation 2, which was identified on the page in the report, states the Land Committee recommends that part of Mackenzie Street between Burnside Avenue and Delaware Avenue be offered to the appropriate owners. So it's Burnside in this context simply refers to the end of Mackenzie where it meets Burnside and the end of Mackenzie where it meets Delaware. There's no recommendation here that any part of Burnside be sold.
So Burnside is off. Now, the requester that that was looking for Burnside before, is he not or she, can they not be part of purchasing Mackenzie? Are they not property owners as well, or they're not abutting?
The property owner that was interested in a portion of Burnside earlier is on the west side of Burnside, and Mackenzie is on the east side of Burnside. So Burnside Avenue divides the property that owner who has had an interest in it in the earlier date.
Okay, thank you. If I can, Mr. Chair, on page 3 of the report, item under new business, item 5, it talks about the traffic signals at the intersection of Municipal Center Drive. And when I look at the appendix that shows the actual configuration there, I got to ask the question of why would we put the traffic signals at Municipal Center Drive and not at Buffalo Road? Because when I'm reading the report, it's talking about the students coming out of the Crescent Park area. And when you're coming out of the Crescent Park area, you have to get to Buffalo Road first. Now, just a few years ago, we put new sidewalks in Buffalo Road. We did all the upgrades there so that we could have traffic getting to Garrison Road. And from Buffalo Road to this portion of Municipal Drive Center, or Center Drive, I don't see any continuity for the people to walk from Buffalo Road through YMCA property, the Town of Fort Erie's property, the arena, Town Hall. They're walking through parking lots more than sidewalks. And I just need some explanation as to why you would have it here and not at Buffalo Road.
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This, for the proposed high school, the main traffic entranceway is located opposite Municipal Center Drive. That's why the traffic lights are here. With respect to traffic or pedestrian access to Buffalo Road, part of the proposal for the school is a sidewalk from this location at Municipal Center Drive through our campus, and certainly some of the foot traffic will be on parking lots, but there will be a continuous hard surface from here to Buffalo Road.
And where will that be located?
It will originate in this plan and sort of meander up adjacent to the skate park out behind council chambers here and into the parking lot outside the main doors here.
Okay, I can see, I see that it gets very confusing as to this. The traffic flow to me isn't going to be very well for the students, I don't think, if they're going that route. I understand the main intersection going into the school, but if they cross that Garrison Road, they could use the sidewalk in front of and have a sidewalk in front of the restaurant across the street and get to the school. And now you're at a major intersection of the But going through this property here, I don't see it personally. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, the chair recognizes Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to give an award for the most vague description to new business item number 3, vacant building along the Niagara River. And continues to say that discussion took place related to a vacant building in the South End. Unfortunately, we have a few, so I'm certain there's a good reason why we're keeping it very vague in the minutes, but I'm hoping for a memo from staff letting me know which property this is and whose suggestion this was, whether or not it was directly from the property owner, just so I know as we go into our secondary planning process. If I could leave that through you to staff, Mr. Chair. And if I could continue regarding the recommendations, thank you. The item concerning the vacant land at the corner of Stevensville Road and West Main Streets, staff have done an excellent job of outlining all the reasons why we shouldn't purchase it and convert it to a parking lot, citing property tax assessments, increased incentives going forward as part of the Stevensville secondary plan. But I'm getting anecdotal evidence from the street of people who have been interested in this parcel in the past, who are very concerned with its proximity to the creek. I have a picture of the property in front of me, 2567. The creek actually traverses a section of this property, and their hesitation is the agencies they'd have to work with, being the municipality, the region, possibly the NPCA. So I'm hoping that in addition to the positives laid out from staff, I'm hoping to postpone this for a couple of weeks and also get a memo regarding the development challenges that would take place on this property. If somebody stepped forward tomorrow and made an offer to this individual to purchase the property, what does their path to development look like? Because I'd like to take that into fulsome consideration when we give this deliberation a couple weeks from now. I recognize all the reasons why it could happen, but in terms of reality, I'd like to know what we're up against and whether or not it is likely to happen. And if I could leave that through you, Mr. Chair, to staff as far as what I'm requesting, but I would like to, I don't know if we need a motion first to separate the recommendations.
Madam Clerk.
Through you, Mr. Chair, this is a denial for town, for the town to purchase the property. I just want to make sure that we have clarification on that. Okay.
It's a request to deny the exploration of the purchase of the property.
Yeah, you would take it out of this report, and we'll deal with it separately.
Okay, so if I could put that motion forward then to remove that from this report and be dealt with separately, so for the purpose of postponing it.
That is item?
Item number 2, vacant land at the corner of Stevensville Road and West Main Street.
Item 1, it, 2, new business,
yeah,
2.
Recommendation Sorry. Number 1.
So just to be clear, Councillor Passero, your motion is under new business 1-2 to remove that from the report to be postponed for a couple of weeks. Is that correct?
First of all, to remove
my
it
motion right
report.
Now is just to remove it. Yep, to be dealt with separately.
Okay. So all in favor of that motion? That carries.
So if we then go back, if we do you want to do that first and then the balance of the report, Mr. Chair? Or are we leaving that until new business?
No, we're going to leave that until...
Okay, so I have no further comments on the Land Committee minutes.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments? Okay, seeing none, I'll question the report as amended. All those in favor? That's carried. None opposed? I'll now deal with the item that was removed, new business 1-2, the vacant land at the corner of Stevensville Road and West Main. I have a mover? Or is it? Okay.
It's already been moved. Yeah, it's just been
okay, it's on the floor. His Worship, Mayor Redekop, then I'll come back to you, Councillor Passero.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to have a memo with respect to the planning challenges that may or may not exist. This is something that I raised. I had some well-circulated petition that we received suggested that there were some issues relative to this property. So I think it's helpful if we get that information. I thought that there might be some conservation authority issues. There may, maybe within. I think that would be very helpful. So I don't know, supplementary to Councillor Passero's request, I don't know whether we need a specific motion for that or whether we can simply, I should look at the clerk because.
Madam Clerk?
I see that as a direction to staff as the reason for the memo to come forward.
Okay. So I think Councillor Passero wants to move that.
Correct. Councillor Passero?
Go ahead.
Apologies, Mr. Chair. If I could move that to direct staff to provide that memo, but I'd also like to make sure that we capture that this item come back as well in a time span of 2 weeks. So that would be the postponement aspect. I'll put that on the floor.
Okay, that motion's on the floor. All those in favor?
For discussion?
Do you have a comment on that?
Yes,
go ahead.
Just for some clarity, I mean, we're asking staff to bring forward, and I just need to know, what is it exactly we're bringing forward? I thought Councillor Passero said he had a list of things he would like to see. I didn't hear that.
Okay. Councillor Passero, would you like to state those?
Sure. I'm looking for a memo that would outline the steps a purchaser would have to take to get them on the path to developing the property. So it would entail any zoning challenges, it would entail which agencies they would have to work with. That's kind of the gist of where I'd like to go. I know what the positives are to the property. I'm looking to see what the challenges are.
Does that clarify for you, Councillor Lubberts, what the request is?
Yes, I can see that, but I think I'm getting lost here on what we're going to do with this here recommendation by the Land Committee, because what they did was they denied this. So, and now Councillor Passero, we're discussing it separately, and he's brought forward a motion to ask for something else. I'm in favor of denying it because I don't know that the town should be purchasing the property. But I'm also in favor of getting a report on who would come forward to purchase the property. And I think maybe Madam Clerk can give us some direction here, but we need to deal with this report also, as well as the motion that Councillor Passero has brought forward.
Sure. I think part of the motion was that we would deal with it in 2 weeks on May 2nd.
So we're postponing this portion
one item
for 2 weeks?
Correct.
So we need a vote. We need to vote on that.
That's what we're voting
on. And
then
Councillor Passero's motion comes forward.
Now,
is
the
that
motion
correct?
Is for the report to come forward and this be brought back. There was an and in his motion. Do you understand it to be that way, Madam Clerk?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I understood it that we were going to have a motion to postpone and that it was understood that a memo would be coming back from staff at the May 2nd meeting to help with this decision.
Okay, thank you very much. Then can I have the motion read out so that everybody
Absolutely.
Understands?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the motion could read that the request to explore the purchase and development of vacant land located at 2567 Stevensville Road be postponed until May 2nd, 2016. That's the part that I thought was direction to staff, that it's understood that a memo will be coming, but if you wanted that wording in the motion, that could be Councillor Passero's wording.
Doesn't have to be.
Okay, so I'm going to call the question, motion as just read by Madam Clerk. All those in favor? That passes. None opposed? Okay, we'll move on to COS 04-2016, amendments to the business license bylaw number 217-05, refreshment vehicles. Can I have a mover? So moved by Councillor Passero. That report is on the floor. Comments or questions? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate staff's time in working through this. I think the public meeting that we held was more than beneficial to hear the comments, and I think that the staff's report and recommendations accurately reflect that. My one question would be, I just want to make sure that we notify at least two of the delegates who appeared that night who specifically stated that they would be interested in pursuing an additional license. So I'd like to make sure that they are notified of Council's decision tonight, regardless of what that will be, to let them know where things stand so they can pursue whatever course of action they'd like to pursue. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions? Councillor Luberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. When I was reviewing the report, I do believe that I read in here that staff recommends that we lift the limit, and I think somewhere in the report too they did say something about that they would monitor it over a period of time, and if there was any problems, whatever, they can make some adjustments. And I'm wondering if we could have a better timeline on something that might come back to council so that they could assure council that things are going good. Let's say 6 months or a year, next year sometime, bring forward a memo or some kind of a report back to council that says, okay, we lifted it and here's some of the problems we had. We might need to make the adjustments. Can we get a timeline on how we would do that?
Mr. Brady, can you comment, please?
Certainly. The staff has heard that there's an interest in having a report back in, I heard you, a year's time. And I'm sure that the appropriate staff will bring back a report at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Luberts. Do you have anything else?
Well, that's good. Thanks.
The chair recognizes his worship.
Councillor Nutt, I had two questions. The first has to do with Section 1A of the Schedule 8, which indicates that the proprietor of the refreshment vehicle is supposed to be inside the vehicle, I think, at all times. Do we monitor that?
Mr. Brady?
No.
Is there any reason why the proprietor would have to be there? Philosophy behind that?
It is a part of the bylaw and that we've had in the past. If council doesn't see that it's appropriate for the person to remain inside the vehicle, the intent is that it's a truck, if you will, and that all the cooking goes on inside it. So the one way of ensuring that is to have the person stay inside the vehicle. But if council views that as not important, then clearly all the vehicles that I've ever attended have the person cooking inside, and this condition tries to maintain that the cooking and the serving is from inside the vehicle as opposed to outside.
That's fair enough, and we don't have the full bylaw here, and proprietor may be defined to be other than its usual meaning, which is the owner. But I guess I just question whether, you know, I'm pretty confident that most of these refreshment vehicles don't have washroom facilities as an example. So some point. And I'm just wondering whether, and before this comes back to a council for the bylaw stage, I wonder if the clerk can maybe take a look at the background and see whether there's something magical about reference to proprietor. The other question that I had, Mr. Chair, relates to paragraph 4.4, which says, which deals really with municipal parks. And My understanding is that the commercial vehicle, these refreshment vehicles can only be located in commercial properties, and none of the municipal parks are zoned commercial, are they?
That's correct. Right.
So I'm wondering whether that's necessary, and if it is, what the thinking is behind that as well, and perhaps the clerk could clarify that before.
Perhaps I can provide you some commentary.
Sure.
The intent has never been to allow these kinds of vehicles within our parks, and the bylaw has explicitly prohibited them from being in our parks. These vehicles are to be provided in other locations. There's one exception, and that's the one which is in Bay Beach right now, but after this year, it will be removed from that site and will also become a vehicle which will be on street.
My understanding is that this particular schedule really is directed at refreshment vehicles on commercial property. So, and there may be more to it than that, but I'm asking the clerk maybe to, or Mr. Brady to, before it comes back for the bylaw, just to clarify the need for schedule.
Mr. Brady, will you be able to provide that as a council memo to council?
Between the clerk and myself, there will be a memo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor of this report? Carries, none opposed. That brings us to new business and inquiries. Chair recognizes Councillor Zenko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question, I'm not sure if it's going to be directed to Mr. Jansen or Mr. Brady, but I'm just curious I'm curious with regard to the purchasing policy bylaw 02-10 under section 23 that provides for single source purchases. I'm just curious as to the process in that regard, and I know it notes as if only one known source of supply. How do we actually know that? So how does the purchasing department know how many sources there might be for a particular service, or do we just assume there's only one source?
Mr. Jansen?
Through you, Chair, to Councillor Zenko. I believe the writer of the report or through the evaluation that would accompany a report for something like this, there would be some consideration and some investigation into that. If you're referring to the SPCA one, I believe there was discussions with within the regional area in terms of a willingness, and the alternative was to do an expression of interest to see who might formally submit to something like that. So just in general, yeah, there would be something done to satisfy ourselves whether there are other available bidders.
Just one thing further, Mr. Chair.
Please
so
proceed.
If I'm understanding it correctly, if we were to take the single source approach, there would be an expression of interest produced just to justify that decision.
Sorry, no. An expression of interest would be a version of an RFP, a first step to see who in the public might be interested. That would be more formal than the investigation that would go on informally to see if there's a single source situation.
Okay, thank you.
The chair recognizes Councillor Butler.
Thank you. Chair Nutt. Further to Councillor Zanko's question, I'm just curious then, did they do an informal investigation prior to allowing a single source?
Mr. Jansen?
In this case, I'd have to refer that to Jeff Stevenson, but I don't think he's here anymore to know the background. Certainly, I think that would have been the case. And there is some history as well that that he would have in terms of past practice with this one as well, but I'd have to refer to him.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, if I may.
May.
I'm curious if you could get us that information. I'm curious as to when that occurred, how that occurred, and how it became, I guess it would have been brought to your attention or someone else's attention. Who really is in charge of the single source? Would it be the procurement manager?
Mr. Jansen?
It's not something that we would necessarily document other than through the writing of the report. So I think in this case, we wouldn't have received that at this point. I would have had some conversations along those lines, but I'd have to check with him and get back to you.
Please proceed, Councillor Butler. Thank you. I'm just at a loss for words because I would think that there would be some kind of systematic reporting procedure to say, okay, well, we've done our preliminary investigation. There is just one person that's solely recognizable for this and move on. But if there isn't a mechanism, I'd kind of like to know why there isn't.
Mr. Jansen?
I think in this case, the way that that section would have been viewed with the single source purchase would be the availability of facilities, particularly in this case with the like services that go with these services. So I think the view was that because there's no other local facilities that would also offer that, that was part of the consideration.
That everything? Okay. Councillor Lubert, you had your hand up while Councillor Butler was speaking, and then I'll
come
to you.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to get some, I'd like to get some clarification and verification, I guess, from our clerk. We're talking about single source funding. Now and it's related to SPCA. And this has been postponed for a couple of weeks. And I'm just wondering how, are we following the proper rules of procedure here? If it's postponed, I don't think that we're supposed to be discussing it any further. I don't know that we can bring it under new business or inquiries tonight. When it comes back on the floor, that's when it comes back for discussion.
Madam Clerk.
Through you, Mr. Chair, I would agree with Councillor Lubert. It started as an inquiry, generally speaking, about how we single source, and should stop there.
Yes.
Thank you for the clarification.
But I think that our Director of Finance said if this is related to the SPCA, then this is how things happen. So it should end here. I mean,
I agree. We're ending it here based on.
Well, we did have some discussion, and it was something that was postponed, Mr. Chair, and I think we should have cut it off when it got to the SPCA.
Right. Well, thank you for clarifying through the clerk, Ms. Councillor Lubert. Sir, is there any other new business?
Your Worship,
just on the non-SPCA issue of sole source, we've had another example this evening, and that had to do with the engineer design work flowing into contract administration and inspection. We get a rationale in the report. When we get the rationale in the report, it's either a full rationale or it's lacking in information. We can ask for more information. Ultimately, the decision is ours. If it's over $50,000, we make the decision based on whether we're satisfied that it's appropriate or not appropriate. So, but we'll leave it at that. And I know that Councillor Butler kind of drifted in there, but, you know, it's all in good fun.
Thank you, Your Worship. Seeing that there's no other new business, we'll move on to the business status report. Any comments or questions regarding the business status report? Seeing none, I'll close corporate and community services and turn the chair back over to His Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. That was very well done for your maiden voyage. Scheduling of meetings. Motion to adjourn. Councillor Sanko.
Oh. Got to put the motion on the floor, Councillor Zanko.
That was dangerous.
Yes. Motion to adjourn the council and committee meeting at 8 p.m. to resume on May 2nd, 2016.
Thank you. All those in favor? Carried.